I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua. Joshua. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua, the man that the Lord raised up to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking. And he says in verse 1, verses 1 to 4, it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And you've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I've divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. Now Joshua has come to the end of his life. He's preparing soon to be taken by the Lord. And he was moved by God's Spirit to put the people of God into memory of the great things that they had seen of the Lord's good providence during the days of their journey. And, it's pleased the Lord to often record the dying words of faithful saints. Those men that have, women that have come by the grace of God, and they've been kept by the power of God. And the Lord obviously has done so for the encouragement of His people, for the comfort of those of us who remain according to God's good pleasure for a while longer. And Joshua speaking, he says in verse 5, the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Now, I want you to notice with what confidence and Joshua speaks of God's future blessings toward those that he's everlastingly loved. Blessings that find their foundation in those things that are past, that we have seen. We're tried daily, and we know that in the midst of those trials that we see in ourselves, we ask ourselves this: has the Lord kept us until today? I mean, things that we've gone through trials in family, trials in sickness, trials in finance, trials, just trials. Now let me ask you this, are we sitting here right now? Has the Lord kept us? Well, sure He has. Now let me ask you this, shall He keep us tomorrow if He allows us to be? Is He? Is He going to? Verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now, Joshua is exhorting the people to be courageous, strong in the Lord, believing God, admonishing them to walk as believers. Walk as a child of God. Walk adorning the doctrine that you've been taught. Walk with diligence. and regard with sincerity toward that which is written in the law of Moses, not for salvation. We know that we're not saved by works. We're not saved by keeping the law, but that which is written by Moses concerning Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Moses. He's talking to some Pharisees that trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, trusted in their works, trusted in their... Just like the Apostle Paul. What did he feel concerning the keeping of the law before the Lord converted him? He said, I'm blameless concerning the law. I'm blameless. The Lord said concerning Moses, John 5:46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So, Joshua was telling the people. He said, be diligent. Then he says in verses 7 to 10, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man shall be able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. He's admonishing the people. Avoid these unnecessary associations with those who know not the Lord. That's what he's saying. I mean, we live in this world. Now, we've got jobs, we've got people around. But the thing is, be cautious. That's what, be careful. These unnecessary tight associations of those that don't know the Lord, don't love the Lord we love. Be constant in cleaving to the Lord, for He's driven out your enemies, fought our battles, and He's given us the victory. And then Joshua says, verses 11, 13, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they you know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, till you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Oh, the need that we all have to be constantly exhorted. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. You know, you think, well, you don't need to tell me that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Spirit of God has written this. Take heed unto Him with all your soul. Love the Lord. Snares and traps and thorns often found when we disregard the exhortations of the Lord to be cautious. And I walk. I need to be, I don't walk out of the house. I honestly don't. Except my wife tells me, be careful. You know why? Because she cares. She cares. Be careful. She knows me. I'm prone to hurt myself. Y'all seen me? My hand all bunged up for a year and a half. Cut this finger here recently and slice this one up. Be careful. Be careful. This is what Joshua said to me. The Lord has promised. You cleave to Him. He fought your battles. But then concerning being not cautious, but he said, be careful. The Lord Himself is a God worthy of obedience. And then Joshua says something, and here really, this is my text right here, verse 14. He says unto them, And behold, this day, I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Joshua, he's standing here, and as I said a while ago, with a marvelous thing to behold of the grace of God that would give him that calm resolve and peace that's experienced, obviously, by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that there's an appointed time to die. And we know that God's people are subject to the same physical death that unbelievers suffer. But how often have we seen the truth in the hour of a departing saint's passage into the very presence of the Lord, that they don't have that bondage of fear of death? They've got God's Word. They believe the Lord in the comforts of that hour. I've seen this, and many of you have. It's the most amazing thing to behold a saint of God that dies in the Lord. There's a comfort there. Obviously, there's a divine application to the heart of the Lord's promise. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It just amazes me to see in that hour, as that time gets closer and closer, of the anxiousness of a believer to leave this world. And behold, he said, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. It just thrills me to read that. I know that the Scripture sets forth, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're confident. The Apostle Paul says, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, I'm confident of that. Willing for that. These things we see right now by faith, and there's times, and it just seems like it's just a fleeting moment. You that know Him, you know what I'm talking about. Seems like just for a fleeting moment that maybe we just got a glimpse of it just that quickly. And then it was gone. To hear these precious words, Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Lord, I'm convinced, based on Your Word, You said You'll never leave. You said that. You said You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. In that hour, in that time, and I'm quite aware that right now somebody asked Mr. Spurgeon one time. He said, I don't think I have dying grace. He said, you think you're dying right now? He said, well, no. He said, well, then you don't need it. But in that hour, He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. And I'm convinced that which is precious to Him in that hour is going to be precious to us. Now that gives me some hope. That gives me some peace. He said, I'm going the way of all the earth. And know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now just for a minute, I'd like for us to just consider these good things that Joshua spoke of. Good things that every believer knows in his heart have not failed. He said, you know it in your heart. You know it in your soul. Not one good thing. Well, I know this. I know the origin of these good things. I know the origin. The Scripture sets forth, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Not one good thing. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, these good things, Joshua said, you know this. The Lord hadn't withheld one good thing from you. No. What are these good things which the Lord will not withhold from them that walk uprightly? Well, I can tell you this. They are all of the covenant blessings that the Lord has been pleased to give unto His children, to all that He's everlastingly loved and chosen in Christ, all those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now He may withhold something that we think is good. I think I need this, that, or the other. And if the Lord doesn't allow us to have it, well, what did that mean? That means that it wasn't good for us. We're things that we consider good, or if He doesn't give them to them, that was wisdom, that was kindness, that was compassion, grace. I'm so glad there's some things that I really thought I was going after. I was going to get it. I didn't get it. By the mercy of God, I didn't get it. It would have been for my harm. But these good things that we know in our hearts that have never failed, that we have, some of them were given us before the world began, and we only know them, we know them totally by faith. Now listen to this. Let me tell you some of these good things that have never failed, the eternal things. We've got God's Word on this. These good things that happened everlastingly, eternal. Now listen to this. Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. You know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That God would set His love upon a people. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Ephesians 1:4 we read all the time. I love it. He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The Lord told His disciples, He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you. I chose you. What a good thing that God would set His affection on us and choose us in Christ. We're bound to give thanks, 2 Thessalonians. I love this passage of Scripture. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's a good thing. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, Ephesians 1. That God would adopt us. And He'd set His affection on us, choose us in Christ, and make us His children. He made us accepted in the Beloved. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, how do we know these things? How this thing of election and this thing of predestination and this thing of God's love, how do we know that? It's in the book. It's in the book. Joshua says, don't fail to all the things that were written in the law of Moses. That Moses wrote of Christ. He said, none of these good things have failed. We believe God, and we absolutely put no confidence in the flesh. And we're convinced. Joshua said, you know this in your heart. You know this in your soul. These things hadn't failed. Do you think any of these things have ever failed? Do you think God's ever changed His mind on loving His people? Do you think He's ever changed His mind on them being elected in Christ? Do you think that if there very possibly could be some of God's elect that's, well, I know that we're still here. I know God's got a people. I know there's a remnant, Paul says, according to the election of grace. And I know God's going to call them out. Maybe some not even been born yet. You think God's going to change His mind on it? Any of them? You think any of those good things are going to fail? So there's some good things that's happened eternally. But now there's some good things that we know by faith, but we actually experience them in time. Now some of these things, His eternal love and electing grace and predestination and saved us. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us. Salvation was first, calling second. All that before the foundation. Promised us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now in time, Ephesians 1, 8 and 9. Whereat He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He's purposed in Himself. In time, some of these good things that He promised eternally actually come to pass. And we actually experience them. There's God's people are taught something. In time, He's enlightened us to the mystery of His gospel redemption. He's enlightened us. Something happened. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was dead in trespasses and sins, and the Spirit of God comes in regenerating grace and removes a heart of stone, gives a new heart, new mind, new spirit. Like the Lord walked by, talking about that, walking by and here, He said, I saw you when you were in your blood. Your navel wasn't even cut. Wasn't salted. Nobody washed you up, swaddled you. And I walked beside you and I said, live. It happens. Just one day you didn't see it. You just couldn't see it. And all of a sudden God gave you a new eye and you said, I see that. I believe that. Not one good thing. This gospel that's hidden to the natural man, but now we walk by faith. Faith in that which He promised beforehand, and we experience it in time. And I'll tell you another thing. Based on what He's done eternally for us in Christ, based upon His Word concerning that which we've experienced right now in regenerating grace, we're convinced that that which He hath promised, it's going to come to pass. And we find rest right there. Do we not believe that by the grace of God we're going to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time? I believe that if I'm kept, it's going to only be by the grace of God. God's going to keep me. You that believe, do you know this in your heart? In the last day, I don't know when it is, but it's coming. In the last day, here's what I believe. And you that know and believe this too. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that died in the Lord are coming out of the grave. I believe that. I believe that coming out of the grave. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I believe it. I believe God. I believe that. I believe it. Based on what He said He did, but when He's done in time, and I've experienced in my heart, I believe He's coming back. I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 17, He prayed His high priestly prayer. He said, Father, I will. This is my will. That of all those that You've given Me, that they be with Me where I am. That they may behold My glory, that glory which You gave Me before the world was. The glory as the Redeemer, the glory as the Mediator, the glory as the great High Priest. I believe that. I believe we're going to be with the Lord in His glorious person. I believe it. And do we think that the promise of God to divide the sheep in that great day, all men are going to stand before Him? And the Scripture says He goes say to those on His right hand, the sheep. And I, in my heart, by faith, I can hear it right now. Come, you blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine the sheep of God that have come and heard the gospel with a new heart, eyes have seen, ears they hear, and they hear those words and they say, I remember hearing about that. And I'm experiencing it right now. You that believe, you know in your hearts that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. That they're all come to pass unto you. Not one thing's failed. But as the Lord has promised good to those that know Him and love Him, there's a warning in the last of this chapter right here, verse 15, 16. There's a warning. It's a warning to those who refuse to bow. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, which He hath have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given you. Listen, God is a just God. He's just. Now listen, I'm telling you. As all these good things that the Lord has promised, that not one of them's failed, to not bow, to not kiss the Son, as He's revealed in these Scriptures, to cling to, return to the gods, the cares of this world, to bow to them in heart, things that all men, if not kept and regenerated by the grace of God, will do. There's but one end. Death. Brethren, friends, hear the word of the Lord. That's scriptural. That's what scripture. Hear the word of the Lord. Somebody says, well, the Lord's got to give us ears. I believe you. That's exactly right. God's got to give me a new heart. That's exactly right. What does the Lord command us to do? Hear the word of the Lord. When the Lord came to Ezekiel was out there in the midst of dry bones. The Lord asked Ezekiel, what do you see? He said, I see dry bones. He said, I want you to preach to those bones. you think, dry, dead bones can't hear. That's irrelevant. Dead, lost sinners can't hear. Not of themselves. But what did the Lord say? You preach to those dry bones and you say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God said, you preach to them. I'll cause them to hear. Hear the word of the Lord. All that the Lord has promised for those that love Him. Not one good thing's failed. I pray God bless this to our hearts, for His glory and our good. Amen. All right, let's take